Are you excited to be in the house of God today? Yes. Come on, sing joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
Let every heart,
let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing.
Well, good morning, Rock Church. We're excited that you get to be here with us on this Christmas weekend as we get to celebrate our Savior. As we continue this morning with our program, you're welcome to take your seat.
Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, She was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus."
I am overwhelmed. I can hardly take it in. I can hear your still small voice whispering.
While they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all men. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men."
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come, ye, oh, come, ye to Bethlehem. Come.
it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings they had heard him concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So church, today, like the shepherds, may we also, in our house and in our home, wherever we go, may we also be praising and glorifying God for all that we have heard and seen this day, the birthday of our Lord and Savior. Simeon said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." What is this? What is salvation? Salvation is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Simeon saw in a baby, he saw our salvation. He saw our Savior. He saw our God. So church, today, in this season, today, like Simeon, may we actively be looking for and may we see Jesus in every situation. May we see Jesus in your house and in your home and in the smiles of your children. May you see Jesus in your job and at your workplace. May you see Jesus everywhere that you go. That like Simeon, we also may say, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." So today, let's continue to be joyful and rejoice and worship and glorify our God and our King.
We'll be right back.
Let's just praise him today. Come on, let's give our Savior all the honor, all the glory he deserves. Hallelujah.
Woo. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Jesus is his name. And he is wonderful. He is Counselor. He's the mighty God. Woo! Yes. Tell me the truth. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Wow. Merry Christmas. Man, I tell you, did these guys do a good job? How many of you, by the showing of your hands, how many of you believe that I taught them how to dance like that? Oh, some of you are crazy as can be. We need to cast the devil out of you later on that you would think such stupid things like Pastor Joel. And, but it is good anyway. I'm so grateful to be in the house of the Lord. And I've heard that 3 times. I get to hear it again. And I love every minute of it, I tell you. I bawl like a baby. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to somebody you didn't come with. And I want you to just tell them Merry Christmas. And then go ahead and have a seat. If you're here for the first time, let us greet you and welcome you. Tell you that we love you a whole lot. Maybe you've not heard that today, that someone says they love you a whole lot. I love you. God loves you, went to the cross for you. I think just as important as going to the cross is being born in a manger. Because without the manger, there had never been the cross. I mean, just all for you. Because you're so important. You may not feel important. You may beat yourself up all the time. There's no doubt we've all made mistakes, but God saw you as the greatest commodity on the planet, worth everything, including himself. That is bizarre. That's amazing. Only God can see us that way. So today, I just want you to know we're going to have a celebration, and we're excited about what God is going to do in this place. God's going to speak to you before you leave, and you're going to never be the same when you leave, because God's going to just flood your heart a little bit more than ever. But if you're here for the first time, let us greet you and welcome you. Tell you that we love you a whole lot. Maybe you've never been at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center before. In order to get these little pamphlet brochures in your hands, you got to just raise your hand. Is that okay? Raise your hand if you're here for the first time. There's some folks back there, back there, back there, back there. Just get your hand up back over there. God bless you. Back over on that far side. Good to be with you. Up on top, all over the place. We're excited about you being here. Thank you so much for coming. Up on top, all the way to the top, just get your hands up. They'll spot you and get somebody up there with you. And inside, there's a general information card. You can put your name, telephone number on there and drop it in the offering basket when it goes by, but that's no fun. What you need to do is just come on over to the right-hand side of the foyer right after church service. In other words, instead of just leaving, going to your car, come on by. There's coffee, tea, donuts, hot chocolate. All the pastors will be there wanting to greet you, wanting to meet you a little bit. Turn in that card with your name, telephone number on there. You know what we'll do? We'll give you a free CD of today's message. You're going to want to hear it over and over again. In a few moments, something different is going to take place. We're going to go to the scripture about our Lord and Savior, and then we're going to teach a little bit, but it's going to be done differently. First 10 minutes, Pastor Luke. Second 10 minutes, Pastor Dan. Third 10 minutes is Pastor Jim. I don't know him very well. But we're going to have a great time, and you're going to just get into the word of the Lord. I want to remind you tonight at 6 o'clock is family Christmas night, and it's always a fabulous time. Bring your Kleenex, because I tell you what, every time we just get together, you say, well, I don't have any family here, and I'm alone or whatever. That doesn't matter. Just come. You'll never be alone. God's in the place. And God will minister to you tonight at 6 o'clock. And it just builds Jesus in your heart stronger and stronger again tonight at 6 o'clock. And then tomorrow night, Monday night, is Christmas Eve service. We're going to have communion service. Come and have communion with us. You're going to be just blessed. Bring somebody that you know. I tell you, hundreds of people get saved during communion service. It's one of the greatest evangelistic services is our communion time. And so if you'll bring people, people will get saved. And it's amazing to take communion here at The Rock. There's such a presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's Christmas Eve on the 24th. Then on the 25th, there is no church service. No church service. The only time we have church on Christmas morning is when it lands on a church day. But there's no Christmas service on the 25th. So if you drive up and you see the gates out in front and they're closed and it's locked up, then jump out of your car and start preaching to the bushes, because we're not going to be here. And by the way, I just want to remind you of something. You'll hear an announcement about the offices are closed. What we did is we gave everybody the week off. They've been working hard day and night. You know, girlfriends goes from early morning, late at night. I'm telling you, Bible college, early morning, late at night. People, services, 10 services a week, early morning, late at night. So what we did is we said, why don't we just shut the office down between Christmas and New Year's? So if you have a problem between Christmas and New Year's and you call the church, no one's going to answer. So here's my suggestion. Drop on your knees. There's a direct line to God. We'll talk to you after the first of the year. What do you say? Let's pray. Pastor Luke, if you'll come on up. Stand to your feet, everybody. And I'm going to get down on my knees. First of all, before I do, I want to welcome all the people. 40-some-odd nations are online right now in the world or watching live stream. My goodness sakes. We just got a little picture from Dr. Barron. He was in Australia last Wednesday night, live stream. Here's a whole bunch of people. And the group that he was ministering to were in Australia, but they were Samoans, and they were all watching the television and the TV that they had this internet hooked up to and watching live streams. So we want to welcome you. You're going to have a great time. Let's put our hearts before the Lord, because it's not a man, it's not a woman that would come to hear, but we've come to hear from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get down on my knees. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, giving you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. How good it is to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for a mighty move of your Spirit in our hearts and our lives today. Here's our hearts. Fill it with your way, your will, your want. Fill us with your direction, Father. We want to live our lives serving you all the days of our life. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, glory, and all the honor. We thank you, Father, for just this mighty move of your Spirit in our hearts and our lives. Now, Lord, we want to just let you know that we're grateful that you bless us here at The Rock. But we want you to bless all the churches in the Inland Empire, as well as around the planet, that are preaching and hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our Baptist brothers, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalian, Charismatics, Pentecostals. Thank you for Calvary Chapels and Harvest, Oak Valley and Oasis, Inland Christian Center, Assemblies of God, Foursquare Denomination, our Catholic brothers and sisters and Adventist brothers and sisters, Trinity, Emmanuel Baptist, and Ecclesia, and The Way, and San Bernardino Temple. Lord, bless them all as they preach the gospel. We'll give you the praise, give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, with a great big shout, we all say amen. Amen.
Well, praise God. As you're being seated, why don't you go ahead and grab your Bibles? We're going to have a special message this morning, like Pastor Jim was talking about. What we're going to do is we're going to go into the Old Testament. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah in the 9th chapter. Today we're going to be talking about celebrating our King with Christmas. Celebrating our King with Christmas. Now, I had you turn to Isaiah in the 9th chapter. Now, we're going to read a familiar passage of Scripture here in Isaiah. And what we're reading is actually, you may have heard this in a Christmas carol. You may have heard this this passage of Scripture before. It might be familiar. It's one of the foretellings of Jesus Christ coming, the Messiah. Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our salvation. And here in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, God is speaking to his people through his prophet. And he begins to tell them about Jesus, about the forecoming of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. And so today what we're going to do as we take a look in this Christmas message is we're going to look at some attributes of God and some of the characteristics of God and how they apply to our life this holiday season. But not just during Christmas, All throughout our walks of life, all throughout each and every day we live, each and every moment we breathe, there's a purpose for each and every one of us in this place today. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to take just a brief look at Isaiah, the 9th chapter, in the 6th verse, and we're going to look at some of the attributes or some of the characteristics of God as he reveals to his people his grand plan for a redemption, for Jesus Christ to come and to redeem us from the sin nature that we were born into. And so in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, in the 6th verse, here the prophet speaks to the people and he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, in your head, I'm sure you're probably thinking of that hymn or that old Christmas song. You know, you can hear the choirs and the music, and I'm not going to sing it for you if you don't know what it is. Sorry about you. I'm not going to run you out of church by singing a Christmas carol to you. Nope, too early for that. But the fact of the matter is there's some things that we can pull out of this foretelling or this prophecy of Jesus Christ. Some things I want to point out to you, a couple things. If you have a Rock Bible, or if you have a Thomas Nelson New King James Bible, you might see outline stars in your Bible. What those outline stars are in the Old Testament and some of them in the New Testament are these are prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. Now, in the New Testament, you'll see those same stars, but they're filled in solid black. And what those are prophecies fulfilled concerning Jesus Christ. And in the New King James Bible, according to these scriptures, there are stars. These are speaking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, him coming. There are some things I want to point out to you, and we'll get to that in a moment. We'll kind of come back to them. But I want to point out that this is some 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ that Isaiah is prophesying the Messiah coming. So there's a period of 700 years from when Isaiah started speaking about Jesus Christ or speaking about the Son, the child being born, the Son being given, to the time that Jesus Christ came. And between that, between the last books of the Old Testament to the beginning of Matthew, to when Jesus Christ was born, there was a period of several hundred years of silence where people hadn't heard anything from God, and the children of Israel had gone into captivity, and it seemed like God was gone. But today I want to show you, and we're going to show you through this section of Scripture in the 6th verse, some attributes, some characteristics of God. Starting out this morning with number one, out of the very first part of the 6th verse, number one, the attributes, the characteristics of God, we see in Isaiah the 9th chapter, the 6th verse, God's humility. His humility. Now wait a minute. I'm talking about God here. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about me. We understand that you and I ought to live a humble life, but now you hear a preacher up here standing up at the pulpit talking about God being humble. This is God. This is a creator of the universe, the one who set all things into motion, the one who set the sun into orbit and the planets into rotation around the sun. This is God who did everything. Why on earth would God have to show humility? Well, the fact of the matter is that God doesn't have to do anything that God doesn't want to do. You see, God is God. God does things how God wants them to be done. But here's the thing I want to show you today, looking out of Isaiah, the 9th chapter. It says, "For unto us a child is born." You see, from the very existence of man, when God gave dominion, or when God gave authority to Adam and Eve in the garden to oversee and to rule over everything, and they were deceived by the serpent and they took of the fruit, you know the story, and they handed their authority over to the devil. You know, from the very moment, there's prophecy in the book of Genesis speaking about the redemption plan. God had a plan from the beginning to redeem mankind, you and I, to himself. But the fact of the matter is you would think that God being God, God being the creator of the universe, God being the one who set all things into motion, God being the one who stretched the heavens and the cosmos into existence, could do things however God would want. And if it was me, if I was thinking about it, well, why wouldn't God send a redeemer? Why wouldn't God send salvation in the form of maybe like Elijah as he went to heaven in a chariot of fire? Or why not bring legions of angels down to take the dominion back from the enemy that took it from mankind? Why wouldn't God show himself strong and mighty, where Jesus Christ would come with the glory shining upon him as a man, that all the knees as he came to earth from heaven, and the lightning and storm and all this grandeur? Why wouldn't God do something like that? Well, the fact of the matter is later on in the book of Isaiah, we'll go ahead and put it up on the over, it says God speaking to his people says, "Hey, listen, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Look what he goes on to say. He says in verse number 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, God doesn't act how we think God should act. God acts how God should act. And one of the things that you and I will see all throughout the Word, all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the New Testament, is we see this theme and we see this illustration time and time again. This is this, that if you want to be exalted or you want to be lifted up, the Bible tells us that he who humbles himself will be lifted up. But he who exalts himself will be brought down. The example of Satan in heaven, when he sees to God and he says, I will exalt myself and be praised, he was cast down into darkness. So here God lives his example in reality by bringing Jesus Christ to us, our salvation, not in a grand and wonderful form. You see, Jesus wasn't born into royalty. Jesus wasn't born into a palace with midwives and manservants and everything he needed. Jesus wasn't born into nobility. The fact of the matter is that Jesus came on that one night in Bethlehem in a manger, born to a virgin named Mary, betrothed to a carpenter named Joseph. You see, so God from the beginning started with humility. As Jesus Christ came, he came with humble beginnings. The Bible tells us as it begins to prophesy that Jesus, that the Messiah would be somebody that you wouldn't look upon him and see beauty. They call him, the word says that he's a man of sorrows. What do we take from that? We take that this is that God doesn't work in your life, maybe necessarily how you think God should work. Well, God, this is my situation. God, this is what's going on in my life. You need to do this, 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 and this. But rather, God looks upon us and says, you need this, 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 and this, and this is how I'm going to do it. You've heard the word, you've heard the cliche statement, the Lord works in mysterious ways. The most evident of that is sending Jesus Christ, born in a manger, betrothed by a virgin named Mary, betrothed to a carpenter named Joseph. Secondly, we see in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verse number 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. That word son talks about ownership. That word son talks about possession. Secondly, the second attribute, the second characteristic we see of God, our King, Jesus Christ, is his humanity. Are there any parents in the house today? Does anybody have sons or daughters? Has there ever been a time? Well, maybe for you, but I can say for me as a child, there was never a time when I went to my mom, when I went to my dad and said, listen, mom, dad, I'd like to see some paperwork. I'd like to see some kind of evidence. Show me some proof that that I'm your son. The fact of the matter is you were there, you gave birth, or you're the parent of. There's no question of your possession. They are your kids. They are your children. There's a sense of ownership there. And Jesus never had to, God never had to prove anything to anybody. Hey, listen, God is God. Nobody has to come to God and say, God, are you really God? That's not God's position to prove himself to anybody, because God is simply God. But the fact of the matter is that God placed such a value upon you and I that he showed his humanity by giving us, not just for our redemption, the wealth of heaven, not turning the riches of heaven, the streets paved with gold, or the oceans filled of diamonds, or whatever you might perceive, but not turning the wealth of the riches of heaven to buy our salvation back, not by bringing legions of angels to have this great and glorious battle between good and evil. But see, God could have done anything he wanted, but rather, God loved us so much that he wanted to show us, he wanted to prove to us, he wanted to give us an example of your and my value by giving to us, for us, his most valuable possession, his son, Jesus Christ. And so here we see the humanity that Jesus Christ came and willingly embraced the cross and went to the cross for you and I, so that you and I could again be reunited with God in our hearts and in our lives. So what do we take from this Christmas message this morning? Two things out of this first part. First off, we see that God works not how we think God works, but God works how he works. And listen, you may feel, and you might be in a position, or you might be in a situation in your life right now where it may not seem like God is at work in your life. Listen, remember, it was 700 years that Isaiah spoke about Jesus before he showed up. But the fact of the matter is that God delivered on his promise. But the promise may not have looked like what everybody thought it was going to look like. And the fact of the matter is that it may not look like what you think God should do in your life, but God has your best interest in mind, and God is at work in your life today. Secondly, What can we take out of this Christmas message, out of this first part? Secondly, we can see that God is a God of humanity. God gave his only begotten son, the Bible tells us in John 3:16, because he loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. God so placed a value upon you and on me that he gave the most prized possession, his most valuable asset, his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans 5th chapter that God demonstrates, he shows us, he gives us an example of his love. Why? That Christ died for us even while we were still sinners. So it doesn't matter if you have a great and grandiose Christmas family dinner or you're all by yourself this holiday season, you need to know that in God's eyes, you are the most valuable thing to him. And there was no price to be paid except for God's most valuable asset, Jesus Christ, which paid the price for you. Pastor Dan.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Celebrating our King with Christmas. Just as Pastor Luke said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, for unto us a child is born, showing us the humility of God. Unto us a son is given, the humanity of God. And now look what it says. It says, and the government will be upon his shoulder. What does that mean? The government will be upon his shoulder. Well, it speaks of his authority. The government being the right to rule, Jesus Christ coming in the form of a man, coming in that likeness, coming in flesh, and now he's gone to the cross and he's brought redemption and he's bought back humanity, but also with that he took the keys of the kingdom and now he has all authority. What does that mean to us? That means that Jesus can handle anything that the world throws at him. Notice that the government is upon his shoulder. It didn't say it was upon his shoulders, like it was such a heavy weight and such a burden that he had to put it on both shoulders, and he's able to carry it, but you know, it's so heavy that it's burdening him. No, it says that the government is on his shoulder. See, Jesus can shoulder anything that the world has. And if he doesn't like something, you know what? He can just kind of brush it off there because the government is on his shoulder. See, Jesus Christ has all authority. Jesus Christ came and he lived the perfect life, and now he has the right to rule. In fact, if you read Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 7, take a look at what it says. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That means that it's continuing, that it's moving forward, that it's growing, and that it's expanding. And it says, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. See, the throne of David was the greatest throne that Israel had ever known. King David was the greatest king, the expansion, the economy, the military exploits. See, this was the greatest throne, and God had promised David because of his heart that he would never fail to have a king and a lamp in his house on the throne of David. And so now here Jesus Christ comes and fulfills this prophecy because he has all authority been given to him. Now think of this at Christmas time. Often we see the manger scene as a bit surreal. I mean, it almost seems incredible, the stories of the star and the manger, and here shepherds are being spoken to by angels, and they're coming, and it's the middle of the night, and you know, wise men from the east are following the star, and all the things that take place, and yet this wasn't just a good movie plot. This wasn't just a sideshow for our entertainment. No, this was the fulfillment of prophecy. This was the onset of the most important activities that the world had ever known. We must never forget that this baby was and is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has all authority. The birth of Christ is something for you and I. I mean, think about King Herod. Here he is, and he hears of this Christ child coming, and he recognizes the authority that's on this child, so much so that he tries to slaughter him and slaughters hundreds of innocent babies. Joseph takes his family down into Egypt, and then when he comes back, he's being warned in a dream not to return. Why? Because Herod's successor is on the throne. See, the kingdoms of this world understood who this Christ child was, and they feared him so much so that they tried to destroy him. And so you and I, when we approach the manger and when we approach this Christ child, we need to recognize and realize the authority that was on his life. So what does that mean to us today? Well, it means that we are to submit to and to live under his authority. Submit to and live under his authority. Because all authority has been given to him. He told the disciples, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. What is he saying? He's saying, submit to my authority. Come under my mission. Come under my rule and my reign in your life, and go and do the works that I've called you to do. And now you have all authority. You are the ambassadors of Christ here on the earth now. An ambassador is somebody who goes in the name of, and also when they speak on behalf of. That means that when you and I speak the word of God, it's as if Jesus himself was speaking on the earth today because we are his ambassadors. And also, the Bible tells us that we are the body of Christ. We are his hands moving. We are his heart bringing compassion. We are his feet walking and going to and from. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 16, verse number 19 and 20, that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under Jesus' feet? No, it says under your feet. Why? Because you are the body of Christ, and God is using the church on the earth today as we submit to his authority to rule and to reign with him. Lots of verses we could have gone to express this, but I want to put Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 21 through verse number 23 up on the overhead for you. Speaking of Jesus Christ, talking about he is high above everything, that he is seated at the right hand of God. And Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 21 says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. As we approach the Christ child in the manger scene this Christmas, let us remember his great authority. Pastor Jim.
As we look at Isaiah, the sixth verse, the ninth chapter. It says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Today we've looked at his humility. We've looked at his humanity. We've looked at his authority. And I want to share with you his greatness. For you to understand, there's a reason for all of this. God's not just bragging about his kid just to brag about his kid. He's sharing what he's sharing, and it's been held for thousands of years in Scripture so that you and I today can look into the word of the Lord and see the truth and get to know God. Notice what it says. For an example, he says these words, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And don't you know he's wonderful? But he doesn't just stop there. That would be pretty cool. When I describe Deborah, I say, man, she is amazing. Or, wow, she is awesome. I might use one word or two, but very seldom do I ever go on and on and on with lots of words. None of us do. But here is God the Father using lots of words describing his son. Wonderful, don't you know? Counselor, there to talk to you all the time. Mighty God, not just a weak little sissy, but you've got one on your side that's mighty. One that can take out any problem you could possibly have. One who speaks and the planets get in line. One who he creates what he needs to create by the spoken word of God. We're talking about facing tomorrow with a mighty God. One who is there to talk with us, to counsel us, and who's wonderful. An everlasting Father. Some of you have never had a father stick around for very long. You were born and raised by somebody you don't even really know that well. But I'm here to tell you something. It's not about your earthly father. It's about your everlasting Father who cares about you on a regular basis. And he is the Prince of Peace. You will find that you'll find your peace nowhere else except in Christ Jesus. You can look for the things of this world. You can look for the material things. You can go to Disneyland every day of the week. You will not find peace there. Peace comes when you're connected with Jesus. And that's how great he is, a mighty God. Now let me tell you something about me. I met him once and he changed my life, but until I got to know him, did my life ever really change? Let me say it again. I met him once, and many of you have met him. Most people that attend American churches have met God. But until you get to know God, there will not be a real change that you need, nor will there be the change that you desire. And it's in the knowing of God that things happen. The Word of God tells us in Daniel, the 11th chapter, in verse number, verse number 32, the last part of that verse, it says, they that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. Let me just say this. They that just didn't meet God, they that just didn't think about God, that God is just something in their life, God is an occasional Christmas experience, God is an occasional, you know, resurrection thought at Easter. But those that know God, for every one of us that are in here, you know darn well you want to stand strong. You know darn well that you want to do great and mighty and marvelous things because you want to be part of those that are called by God to be great and called by God to be strong. And the way to be strong and the way to be great and do great things in your life, in your home, family, children, finances, dreams, vision, destiny that God has for you is to not just meet Him, but to know Him. And that's why he describes him as wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. My goodness sakes alive. He describes him as so much so that we can get to know who he is so that we can in him. Let me say it again. So that we can in him. One more time. So that we, as we are in him, can stand strong and do great and mighty exploits. God hadn't called us to sit around and do nothing. We could do nothing. If you want to do nothing, go ahead and do nothing. But what a shame that would be when you got a great and mighty God. Did you know the people that have met God do nothing, but the people that know God have got to get up and do something? Somebody ought to say something about it. It's true for every one of us that are in here. The more we know about God, the greater things God's going to be doing. Now I want you, if you've got your Bible, circle the word strong and circle the word great. And let me show you how that relates to you. All that he describes his son to be, all the greatness of his son, all the humanity of his son, all the humility of his son, all the authority of his son, all relates to you and me. My goodness sakes, watch this. I want to take you prophetically to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse number 12. I'll just pop it up on the overhead for you. First part, it says, therefore, I will divide him. Notice the capital H on the word him, speaking of Jesus. I will divide him a portion. Listen to this word again. A portion. The Bible tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, that you are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. That what Jesus has, you're going to get. You say, you better say that again, Pastor Jim. I don't get it. What Jesus has, you're going to get. But notice who he describes that's going to get a portion. He says, therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. I had you circle the word great. And those that shall that divide a spoil with the strong. I had you circle the word strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, Jesus. In other words, that portion of your life, of your future, of your destiny, of the inheritance of God that you get in Christ Jesus is all because of Jesus, yes, but it's because you know him well enough to stand strong in times of trouble, trials, pressures, and temptations. Stand strong and do great exploits. Come on, somebody. It's true. I want to take you now, let's take it a little bit further than that. If Jesus is humble, if Jesus has humility, and if Jesus has humanity, that he became man so that he could feel what it's like to be a man, he didn't understand mankind even greater. He created man, but he had to, like last time we were together, had to feel man in order to understand man. In fact, he literally learned obedience through suffering. Remember that verse that we talked about before? Let me take you and how this relates to you and how you and I should be now that we don't just have met him, but we're learning how to know him. Go with me, if you will, into Ephesians. Ephesians, the second chapter, starting in verse number 5. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse number 5 says these words. It says these words, let this mind, what kind of mind? A mind that thinks about himself a certain way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Talk about humility. Here it is. Taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of a man. There's his humanity. Now listen closely to what I'm going to say to you. You do not have to brag about who you are. You do not have to build yourself about who you are. You don't have to get people's recognition, approval, and acceptance when you know who you are. You don't have to come and make people see who you are when you know who you are. And Jesus Christ, this is humility, says, I don't have to come as great. I can come as lowly. I can come in that manger. I can come without the armies of God behind me, without the gold and the wealth of heaven behind me. I can come in as deity who created mankind, who becomes mankind, because guess what? I know who I am. The question is, if this mind is going to be in me, and if this mind is going to be in you, where you don't have to make yourself something, but you are already something in Christ Jesus. Let me say it one more time. You don't have to make yourself something, but you are already something in Christ Jesus. It's not about how talented you are. It's not about how gifted you are. It's not about how smart you are. It's not about all the degrees that you have earned and how cool you are. It's really all about how cool and great He is. What I am because I'm in Christ Jesus. Somebody needs to hear this. What I do, what I'll go, what I say, and what I'll be is all because of Christ Jesus. All praise and glory to Him. Because guess what? I can't stand strong, nor can I do great exploits without Him. But with Him, I can stand strong. Listen, in His greatness, I can do great exploits. And that mind of humility, knowing who I am, He tells me that's the way I ought to be. Verse number 8, and being found in the appearance of man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the Christ. Now, cross. Now, watch this. Verse number 9, therefore, because of what He just said and that humble heart, therefore God does something because of His humility. Watch us. He'll do the same with you. That God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. And at that name, Jesus, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on the earth and those that are under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm telling you right now, we're talking about His greatness. He is a mighty God, Counselor. Oh, come on, somebody. He's on your side, there for you. An everlasting Father that'll take care of you and every single need. And because we're in Him, not outside of Him looking for Him, not trying to hunt for Him. People who have met Him but don't know Him are always hunting for Him. But may I say this to you? When you get past meeting Jesus and getting into knowing Jesus is when life starts to change. And in the year 2013, it ought to be a commitment of every one of us. I don't care how smart you are, how many degrees, how many seminaries you've graduated from. We ought to have a commitment that says, I'm going to get to know God even greater. Because the more I know God, the stronger I'm going to stand and the greater the exploits I'm going to do. Can you imagine a church that did that? You ought to give the Lord a great big praise because of His greatness. Pastor Dan, come up here. Right. What do you say? Did you get something out of that today?
So good, so good. Talking about the greatness of God and the greatness of His people and the great exploits that take place, oftentimes there's more that goes on outside of the walls of this church than what takes place inside the walls of this church. And maybe you didn't know it, but you were out in the streets, you were ministering to the homeless, you were in the convalescent hospitals, you were bringing Christmas gifts to children in our church that wouldn't have had Christmas otherwise. I could talk about it, but why don't I just show you? Check out the overheads for what you did this Christmas.
Angel, we have heard on high, seedless singing.
God. That's what you did. You say, well, wait a second, Pastor. I didn't do any of that. I didn't go out to the streets. I didn't pray with any of the homeless. I didn't minister in any of the prisons or in the convalescent hospitals. Yes, you did. When you bring your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse of God and a church comes together, that's what you did, all right? Praise God. See, there is a grace that goes along with our giving. The Bible says that there's multifacets of grace. And one of those graces in 2 Corinthians is that there is a grace of giving. And that giving grace comes when you give. That God empowers your gift, takes it and blesses that seed that you sow, and then he produces fruit with it. You don't understand it. You don't know how it works, but God works it out on your behalf. And that's why when we come and we bring our tithes and our offerings, this is a worthy place. You can see where your tithe and your offering is going. And listen, it also goes around the world. Like we talked about our live stream, the word of God is going around the world as well as with our missionaries. My goodness, this place is doing a great work, and it's all because of you coming together and doing your part with your tithe and your offering. Praise God. Let's all stand to our feet and let's make this declaration of our faith together about our finances. We're gonna get our faith focused and get specific with some things we're believing God for. And then we're gonna put the word of God behind it and bring our tithe and our offering today. Here we go all together on the count of three. One, two, three. As we give in today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decreased, blessings and increase, generosity, increased capacity, new skills, witty inventions and ideas, wise investments, paying off our church. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs. Your word says you are able to make all grace abound toward me, that I always have all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. I know. Kingdom of God, to promote the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm going to ask no one to leave during this time. Let the ushers do their job. If you're in need of an envelope, please raise your hand. The ushers will spot you and get one of those envelopes down your direction for credit card or cash giving. Also, you can check the seat in front of you and see if there's one within reach. If you want to give by check, make it out to the Rock Church and make sure that the information on your check is correct, and then you don't need an envelope. And also, you can give online at www.rockchurch.com and just click the online giving button, set up an account with us, or you can also use your PayPal account. For those of you that are joining us online, we just thank you for any gift that you bring. And if this is your church online, then hey, the tithe and the offering belongs here, and we thank you as well for being a part of what God is doing here at The Rock. Once again, I'm going to ask everybody, please remain seated. Let the ushers do their job and continue to fill out your checks and your envelopes. And then as they receive the honoring of the Lord, check out what's coming up here at The Rock on the overheads.
In our anger management course, we give you tools to help control and manage your anger. Anger management is a co-ed course for adults. If you're interested, call the church office for more information.
Hey girls, I want to invite you out January 10th because Girlfriends is having a big bang start. You don't want to miss it. Thursday, January 10th, 9:30 a.m., child care is provided. Grab some coffee here at the church, hang out with your girls, and hear an amazing word. I'll see you there.
There's so much going on here at The Rock this Christmas season.
Rockin' Christmas is this Sunday night, December 23rd at 6 p.m. So bring the whole family and enjoy this special night filled with Christmas carols and performances. Christmas Eve communion service is on a special night, Monday, December 24th at 6 p.m. Invite your family and friends to this powerful service and come and witness a miracle in their lives. The church offices will be closed the week of Christmas. We will reopen on Monday, December 31st. New Year's praise and prayer service is on Sunday, December 30th at 6 p.m. Come and kick off this year with a great and powerful message. We'll see you there.
On Tuesday, January 1st, our offices will be closed for New Year's Day and will reopen Wednesday, January 2nd.
To learn more about Christmas at The Rock, visit our website at www.rockchurch.com.
God is so good to us. Hey, I'm going to ask everybody, please remain seated one more time. You say, why do you keep repeating yourself? Because every time I repeat myself, it seems like more people get up and walk out. You know, a lot of times we get letters and stuff like that, emails and things. People are mad that we said to sit down and stay put. Listen, the reason why we do that is because we're passionate about you. We don't want you to have a wrong relationship with God, put little value on the things of God, walk out of this place, and if you died, that you would go to hell. That's what we're talking about right now. I just need some more of your attention, a couple more minutes of your time, and then we'll let you go, okay? Tons of people have already left. If you're out there in the foyer, you're out there in the breezeways, you're there in the bathrooms, just listen up, because God wants to speak to you where you're at right now as well. I just want a couple more minutes of your time, so I'm going to ask everybody, please, remain seated, because the next couple of moments have eternal significance for your life. And I want to make sure that your heart is right with God, and that if you died, that you wouldn't end up in hell, but that you'd go to heaven. Now, sometimes people say, well, I don't believe in hell. You know, I don't believe that a God that's good would send people to hell. Well, listen, hell was never intended for you and I. It was made for the devil and for his angels that rebelled against God. And yet we can choose whether or not we go to heaven or hell by our lives here on the earth. All we have is today. You're not coming back. You don't get another shot at this. The Bible says it's appointed for man once to die and then to the judgment. And the Bible speaks about hell in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. My goodness, even Jesus spoke about hell. So that means it's a very real place, and by ignoring it or denying its existence doesn't make it any less real. You're going to have to face it. Come on today, let's talk. Let's make sure that if you died that you would make it to heaven and not hell. Now, sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I believe in God being loving, and therefore he's going to make a way for everybody to get to heaven. And you get there your way, I'll get there my way, and you know, everybody will make it there somehow, some way, and we'll see you there. Well, problem with that statement is that, did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that whatever way we choose to get to heaven, that that's the way that God's going to use to get us there? Not about your way, not about my way, not about some well-meaning church committee's way. Let's do this God's way. Don't you think God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who spoke and planets existed, the one who came and carried out the plan of redemption in his son, beaten, bloody, hung on a cross, died and was raised again to life, don't you think that that same God who went through all of that to get us to him would also share with us how to get with him? Well, he does in his word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes to the Father except by me. It means it's God's heaven. We got to get there God's way. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, well, that's good news, Pastor, because I believe that God, you know, lets good people into heaven. I've been really good. I used to be bad, but I cleaned up my act. Been really good lately. Done a lot of good deeds. Gave money to charities. I'm involved in social outreaches and things like that, and been nice to my neighbors, really friendly to people, and I'm going to get to heaven because I've been good. Problem, once again, with that statement is, could you just show that to me in the Bible where God lets good people into heaven? Could you show me the grading scale or the measure of how good you have to be before you can get it? Can you show that to me? Because it's not there. Nowhere in the Bible says you can be good enough to work your way into heaven. Why? Because the standard is perfection, and the only one who is perfect, his name is Jesus. And God is not some jolly old Saint Nick of the heavenlies making a list and checking it twice. So who's been naughty and who's been nice? You're not going to get to heaven just by being good. Come on, let's love you enough, respect you enough, and honor you enough today to tell you the truth, not play games. Some of you might be thinking, well, wait a second. I was raised in church. My parents told me growing up we were Christians. Hung a cross or Saint Christopher around your neck. Had you baptized or christened as a child. Took you to religious classes like Sunday school or Sabbath school or catechism class. And you've always thought of yourself as a Christian. You're born in America. America's a Christian nation. Everybody born in America gets to go to heaven. We're not any other religions. We're not Buddhist or Muslim or Hindu. Therefore, we're Christians headed for heaven, denying hell, right? Wrong. Once again, the problem with that statement is that nowhere, check it out. Nowhere in the Bible say that you're raised in church, parents take you to church, call you a Christian, that makes you a Christian. Nor in the Bible say you think of yourself as a Christian, that makes you a Christian, or because you wear religious jewelry, attend religious classes, be baptized or christened as a child, or be born in America, that you get to go to heaven. And I don't see anywhere in the Bible that it says that because you're not some other religion that by default, God lumps you into the category of being a Christian, headed for heaven and denying hell. If that's how you think you're going to get there, I love you enough, respect you enough, and honor you enough today to tell you the truth. You're not going to make it. Now, sometimes people say, but wait a second, Pastor, wait a second. Not only when I was a child did I go to church. Here I am sitting in church right now. I mean, I've got my church thing down, Christmas and Easter. You know, here I am Christmas weekend, sitting in church right now, and I consider myself to be a Christian. I'm glad you're here today. Thank God you're here today, because God is speaking to you right now. But did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that you get to go to heaven because you sit in a church service, call yourself a Christian? That's like saying, I can go to my garage, sit in my garage, call myself a car, and that makes me a car. Doesn't matter how long I sit there, how much I say I'm a car, even if I make beeping noises, it's not gonna make me a car. It's just gonna make me a crazy person sitting in my garage. Not gonna get to heaven just by sitting in church service, calling yourself a Christian. You say, but Pastor, hold on, because my last church I got involved, I helped out, I sang in the choir. made decisions in that church, and people thought of me as a leader. I even got a membership card to that church and preached in the Bible class. That's great. Glad you did those things. Just go ahead and show that to me in the Bible where that gets you into heaven, could you? Because it's not there. Church involvement does not get you into heaven. Doesn't matter if you've helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People think of you as a leader. Doesn't work like that. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that it says you teach in the kids' classes or that God is looking for your membership card to a church before you can enter the gates of heaven. Come on, let's tell you the truth. If that's how you think you're going to get there, you're not going to make it. Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, I got this, because Pastor today was talking about meeting God. And I know God. Somebody told me that if I was a Christian and I know God, that gets me into heaven. And yes, that's something that Christians do, is get to know their God, and they have that intimacy with him. But did you know that just a surface level knowledge of who he is not going to make it? You know, everybody in America knows who Jesus is. They know about Christmas. They know about the baby in the manger, but not everybody in America is going to get to go to heaven. This is not about what you have in your head. Everybody look up at me for a second. This is not about mental assent, having head knowledge about who Jesus is. And that gets you right with God, headed for heaven and denying your presence in hell. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that demons believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They're not Christians headed for heaven. The Bible says the devil himself knows who Jesus is and can quote scriptures in the Bible, and yet he's not a Christian headed for heaven. So this is not about what you have up here in your head, but rather this is about your heart. Have you given God all of your heart? Have you given God all of your life? Because if you haven't, then I love you enough today to tell you the truth. You're not going to make it. Simply not going to make it. You got to give God all of your heart. You got to give God all of your life. There was a religious leader in Jesus' day. Pastor Luke read John chapter 3, verse 16. Did you know that verse was spoken to a great religious leader of Jesus' day by the name of Nicodemus? This was a good guy, did a lot of good things. He was involved. I mean, he was one of the leaders. He attended all the time. He did a lot of good deeds. We would have thought Jesus would have patted him on the back and said, hey, good job, man. Keep doing what you're doing. I'll see you in heaven. But he doesn't say that at all. Rather, what does he say? He says, you want to enter the kingdom of heaven? You must be born again. Now, I know our society's made a mockery out of that term. They've raked it through the coals, made it out to be something that it's not. And yet, this is not about what society or Hollywood or movies or television or the internet says. This is about what the Bible says. What does being born again really mean from the Bible? Well, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, it's always meant the same thing. It means that you've given God all of your heart and that you've given God all of your life. It's all or nothing with Jesus Christ. Let me prove it to you in the book of Revelation, last book of the Bible. Jesus is speaking to a church just like he's speaking to us here in this church today. And he says, when I come, I want to find you hot or I want to find you cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit you from my mouth. Those are graphic words from the mouth of Jesus, but what is he saying? Lukewarm, what's that all about? Well, it's a little in, a little out, a little up, a little down, occasional church attendance. God is something in your life, but he's not everything. And you're not opposed to God, but you're not wholehearted for God. Listen, if that's your relationship with Jesus Christ, look out. Why do I say look out? Because think of it, only people that are not real Christians will be ejected and rejected from the body of Christ. So today, I'm going to give you an opportunity just like this. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say the word three, I'm going to pop my hands together. Bang! When you hear the sound of my hands popping together, just like that, bang, that's your opportunity to raise your hand. What you're doing by the raising of your hand is you're acknowledging, Pastor, I want to give God all my heart. I want to give God all my life. I want to be born again and headed for heaven, denying my presence in hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You can put it right back down. Now, you might be thinking, whoa, wait, time out. If I raise my hand, I'll be embarrassed. I came with family or friends today, and they think that I'm a Christian, and if I raise my hand, that might get a little weird. Listen, it's okay. It's okay. Get over that embarrassment, because think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than it is to end up in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? You get into hell, there's no exits. You'd raise everything you could to get out of hell. And yet today you have an opportunity right here before you, and no one's judging you. No one's laughing at you. We're not mad at you. We're excited for you. We want you to do this. In fact, let me let you in on a secret. The friends and family that brought you here today, they want you to do this. That's why they brought you here today. And we've all done this at one point or another in some way or another in our lives. So today in this safe and friendly church service, you can get right with God by simply raising your hand. All across this auditorium, if that's you, back in the family rooms, wherever you're at, if you're watching by television in the foyer, the Love Rock Cafe, or even online, you can raise your hand and God sees you right where you're at. Who should raise their hand if you've been running from God instead of to God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise their hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Come on, today, make sure. Who should raise their hand if you've never done this, never given God all your heart and life? Come on, I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise their hand if you're lukewarm in this place? You know that's the condition of your heart when I described it. Come on, you can make a right relationship with God by simply raising your hand in a moment. I'm going to count to three, pop my hands together. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Just pop them up high. Thank you. There's one. Thank you. There's two. There's three. Thank you. There's four. Got you over here. Up on top. Where you at? Up on top, where you at? Anybody else? I got you already. Thank you. There's four wise people already. There's five. Thank you. God bless you. There's six. Thank you. Got you up on top there. Come on. Who else? You need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. There's six wise people already. If that's you, just pop it up when I'm looking your direction. Anybody else? Thank you. There's number seven. Got you. Back in the family room. Is anybody in this family room over here? On this side? Anybody else real quick? Just pop it up. Anybody else? On this side? Anybody in this family room? Just wave it at me if I don't already see you. Anybody else real quick? Real quick, real quick, just pop it up. There's about six or seven wise people. Listen, I know there's more. You're sitting there wondering if you should do this. You should. Come on. God loves you so much. Sent Jesus, beaten, bloody, hung on a cross. Public spectacle. You can simply raise your hand in the safe and friendly church service. I didn't embarrass them, and I won't embarrass you. If that's you, you need to give God all your heart and all of your life. Come on, just pop it up when I'm looking your direction. Come on, if that's you, just pop it up. Pop it up. Anybody else in this section? Anybody up on top back there in the middle? Anybody up on top on this side? Anybody down here? Come on, come on. I'm not selling knives at the county fair. I'm giving you an opportunity to receive Jesus. Anybody else real quick? You know you need to do this. Come on, come on, come on. Last call. Last call. I'm going to close this up and you're going to miss this. Don't miss this. You've missed enough opportunities in your life. God's tugging on your heartstrings right now. If you know that's you, come on. I'm just one more sweep. This is it. This is it. Last call. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, well, let's give the Lord a hand for about six or seven wise people. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's what I want to do. I want to give you some instruction. If you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, but you didn't, it's not too late. Well, in a moment, we're all going to stand. We're all going to give a clap and a shout. Elijah's going to lead us in a song. As we do, I want you to get a hold of your coat, purse, sweater, a Bible, a friend if you need a friend. If you're sitting next to somebody, just give them a little nudge on their arm. Say, hey, friend. I'll go with you if you need to do this, all right? And then I want you to come and get in the aisles and meet me up front because we're going to change destinies today, but we can't do that till we get you down here. Back in the foyer, if you need to come on inside, you're welcome. From the family rooms, if you need to bring your kids, bring them on down. You're welcome at this time. Online, you can click that button, respond to God. But everyone else in here, let's all stand and let's welcome them as they come. You come right now. Come on right now. Just get your stuff, get in the aisle and meet us up front. Come on, come on, come on.
Just as you are.
They're coming. Let's give them a hand as they come. You can come too. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation.
Oh, come just as you are.
They're coming. Come on. Come on. Come on. There's room for you. You can come too. They're coming.
Come receive.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Take the first step, the rest will be easy. Come on down. Come on, come on, come on. You can come too. You can come too. There's room.
Just taste the living water.
Either I missed your hands or something else happened because there's a whole lot more than six or seven people up here. Good call. Good choice. Good choice. Best decision of your entire life. I want to introduce you guys to a friend of mine right over here to my right. See this guy in the black coat? This is Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave's a really good guy. Nothing weird's going to go on. You know, sometimes you go to church, you wonder if they're weird. Listen, he's cool. He's going to do three things. He's going to pray with you a simple prayer to invite Jesus into your heart. He's going to give you some free literature that'll help you to find out what to do next in your walk with God. It's free and it's easy to read and it'll help you to find out what to do next. And then he's going to give you absolutely free what we call a spiritual personal trainer. Heard of a physical trainer in the gym? Helps you get buff, helps you get strong, right? Cut, all that kind of stuff. Spiritual personal trainer will help you to do that spiritually. He'll describe how it works and then he'll let you come right back out. Now listen, listen, listen. You give us 1 year here at The Rock, sitting under the Word of God. I promise you at the end of that year, your life will be so blessed that for that year and for the rest of your life, you're gonna say, I didn't know it could be like this. As you get to really know your God and start to do great exploits. It all starts with an SPT. So if you guys will make a left turn and follow Pastor Dave, let's give them a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise. Woo! God is so good, so good. Merry Christmas, Rock Church. Lift your hands to the Lord. Let me bless you as we go. Father God, I bless the saints of God from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. May they be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming, blessed going. May everything they put their hand to, they prosper. And Lord, bless each and every Christmas. Bless each and every home and each and every individual. We give you the praise. And the Lord, about the Inland Empire, we declare that.